Way. One of the concepts we'll be talking about today is a word that's mentioned in Scripture a couple of times, and it's the word harmony, this idea of living in harmony with one another. It's a musical term, so I thought it'd be best if we demonstrated it musically. So Josiah, if you could play something really ugly. He struggled with this in the first service. Try to play something. Just jam the key. Oh, there you go. That's more like it. He kept playing these weird chords, and I'm like, that still sounds decent, but you hit these ugly things to get that jam the keys down, and it just sounds like fighting. It sounds like, you know, people butting up against each other, and so that obviously we think of as that's the opposite of harmony, right? Wouldn't you say it's people clashing? It just doesn't work. But a lot of times when we start to talk about the topics like this today, about harmony and things like that, about getting along and committing to one another, we start to think that it has to be a musical term that I would call unison. So if you would just play the same note straight up. Sounds a lot better than what he played, but let's be honest, it's still kind of boring, isn't it? I mean, it's just the same note in different places on the keyboard. It's unison. It's everything. Everybody's all the same. And we can think sometimes that when we come to church to be in community that we have to be clones. We have to be clones of each other and just be operating. What the Bible talks about is something we call harmony. So go ahead and give us some harmony. It's different notes playing off of each other. Well, this feels like I feel like I'm in a jazz club now or something. Hey guys, welcome to First Baptist. But you see, it all comes together, and those notes weren't the same. They were all different notes, but they complemented each other. They didn't clash with each other, but they weren't exactly the same either. Thank you, Josiah. And that's the concept that we're going to be talking about today, of this idea of harmony. Harmony doesn't mean that you become a clone. It means you become the person that God has created you to be. And as you become the person that God created you to be, it resonates with other people that he's put around you, and you end up making a beautiful song together. That's the idea of the biblical view of unity, of harmony. It's unity in diversity, is we're all becoming the people God created us to be, and we're going to be different, and that's okay. So as we talk about this concept today, I wanted you to let you know I'm not talking about unison. When we talk about membership, and that's what we're going to continue in this series. We're doing 3 weeks on membership matters, what it means to be a member in the church. What I'm talking about when in membership, it doesn't mean you come, we brainwash you, and then you start acting like everybody else, and you wear the same clothes and dress the same way. That's not what we mean at all. It means you grow into the person that God has created you to be. So we wanted to take these 3 weeks to talk about membership because sometimes I hear pushback on this idea of what it means to be a member of a church. People say things like, well, you don't have to be a member of a church to go to heaven. And while the way we talk about membership, that is true. You don't have to be on a roll in some church and, you know, God's not going to check he's just going to check your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. But here's the thing is to be a Christian, to be in Christ is to be a part of his larger body. And so really, whether you like it or not, if you're in Christ, you are a part of his church. What we're talking about is committing to the local church. What does that mean? And that's what we've seen more than anything. In Scripture, there's clearly a group that's a part of the church and a group that's outside of the church. So while they might not use the term membership or even something similar to our concept of membership, it does seem that they knew who was in and who was out. And so we're talking about what it means to be in, what it means to be a member here. There's no club requirements. We're not a country club or anything like that. What does it mean? Really, it means you've made a commitment to this local church, and the local church has made a commitment to you. We saw this in the very first scene that we see in the church beginning, right after Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Jesus ascends to heaven in Acts chapter 1, and then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends. Peter gives this great sermon, and then we read this last week, but let's look at it again. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. You see the church starting to come together for the first time. It says this, "So those who received his word, Peter's, were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Let me stop there and point out one word to you, and that's the word devoted. noticed that it wasn't just an accidental thing that, oh, well, I happen to believe what these other people believe, so I guess we'll just kind of come and hang out together and do these sorts of things. What do you see there? It was a commitment. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to one another. That's what it means by devoting themselves to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to one another. It was a conscious choice to associate themselves with each other and be in one another's lives. Let's go on in verse 43. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So God continued to add to their number, the ones who were a part of the church, the ones who were committed to the truth and committed to each other. We see from this passage and from others that those who came together in the early church should be just the same as us. They come together, they believed the same things, they looked out for one another, and they had a common mission. Last week, we talked about that idea of believing the same things, having the truth in common, making a commitment to God's gospel truth. This week, we'll talk about committing to each other, and next week, we'll talk about committing to that common mission, that purpose. So last week, to recap, we saw that membership in a church is a commitment to the truth, to pursuing, to teaching, and to living out the truth that we believe. And so what we saw last week is it's not just head knowledge. It can't be just head knowledge. James tells us that even the demons believe in God and they shudder. It has to be something about life change as well. The truth is not just knowing the truth, it's living that truth. It's allowing it to change who we are as people. Not to somebody different, but to who God made us to be. And so membership is a commitment to the truth, but it's also a commitment to one another. It's a commitment to the people who belong to that local fellowship, the church. And it's that commitment that we'll look at today. Let's open up with a word of prayer and then we'll take a look at this concept. God, I pray that you'd give us insight today, that you'd show us how we can alter the way we treat one another, maybe the way we think about what it means to be a part of a church. God, I pray that you'd show us people, that you'd bring people to mind. As we talk about these topics, maybe it's people that we need to go and talk to. Maybe it's people we need to repent to. Whatever it may be, God, show us what it means to be a part of the same congregation, what it means to be an authentic community. And as a result of reading through these, your words, I pray that you would leave us as different people, leave us changed after today. Help us to act differently towards one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we recently changed our membership commitment, and that was kind of part of the reason for going through this. Again, there are copies out here if you need it of the new constitution, and it's like page 3 or 4, I think, if you want to see it. But we're going through each part of it now to talk about what it means to be a member. We talked about truth last week, love this week, and purpose next week. And so again, let's take the same thing we did last week, just looking at the points of those membership commitment, and I'll tell you where they come from in Scripture and what we can learn. Let's first go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We're not going to be there long. You can turn there if you want, but it'll be on the screen. The writer of Hebrews says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near," the day there being the day of God's return. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is that, you know, you can actually cause other people to come into a better relationship with God. Did you realize that? You actually have that influence. That when you speak into their lives, when you encourage them. But here's what he's getting at more than anything else is we've got to be there to do that. And so here's the first bullet point. I will act in love towards other members here at First Baptist Church. I will act in love towards other members by the first bullet is to regularly attend worship services and small group. One of the commitments to being a member is simply this. I will be here. As long as I am physically able, I will be participating in worship and I'll regularly meet with other people in the church. No excuses. I'm going to make this a regular part of my lifestyle. Now, I've heard, as you can imagine, plenty of excuses over the years about why somebody might not have been in church on a particular week, and some of them are really, really lame. Others are completely valid. But I tried to pick a couple people out in each church that just seemed like there was no obstacle too great for them to get there. A couple of churches ago up in Pickerington, there was a lady named Marcia. Marcia had an ailment that confined her to a wheelchair, but she was able to get one of those motorized wheelchairs, and we helped her get a van that would raise her up into the van, and she could wheel over to the driver's seat, and she could come to church on her own. I mean, it was great, but it wasn't the greatest van in the world, so sometimes it broke down. And so most people would have said, oh, well, the van broke down today. I can't get there. You know what Marcia would do? She had a motorized wheelchair. Here we go. So every once in a while, you'd see Marcia just wheeling down the road, and you're like, oh, the van must not be running today, and she'd go over 2 miles in that little buggy all the way to church. And I'd have other people tell me the baseball game ran a little late last night. And it's just, I wanted to say, meet Marcia, you know. When I got to this church, I found that lady pretty quick. Her name is Nellie Klein, and it took a fall with a hip replacement surgery to keep her away from here. She told me early on that she would be here as long as there wasn't ice all the way down Divide Hill, that she would drive herself. Age 93. I've never seen her drive, so I don't know if it's a good thing or not. but she's so faithful. She wants to be here. You see, there's something about, if we're going to commit to one another, we have to commit to being around one another. This is where it starts. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Does God take attendance? You know, is there some big book there where we're getting check marks every time we come into church? No, that's not it at all. If you're sick, stay home. That's not what I'm saying. God's not taking attendance. I mean, can't I worship and grow on my own? Think about it. There are plenty of TV shows and internet churches now where you can hear some of the best preaching out there, a lot better than you'll hear here. You can listen to worship music on your own. You can worship God in your pajamas on a Sunday morning with your feet up in a recliner and a cup of coffee. Right? I mean, you can worship, you can learn, you can hear. So why physically come to church? Why be, and when I refer to church, I'm referring to this collection of individuals, not this facility. We are the church. Why come and be with each other? Well, here's the key. Yes, you can sit home and you can receive, but here's the problem. It's not just about you. That's part of the thing with church. It's not about just receiving. I get it. If church is only about what I can get out of it, I could see why you'd probably want to stay at home in the recliner with your feet up and coffee and your PJs, listening to Andy Stanley or Charles Stanley, whoever you listen to. I get it if it's just about receiving, but it's not just about receiving, is it? It's about, according to the writer of Hebrews, encouraging one another. Meet together, he's saying, so that you can physically be there for one another. And so what if one of your reasons for attending worship and coming to a church was to actually benefit others? See, in the last few decades, we've gotten into a consumer mentality where even church is about, well, what can I get out of it? What is it? What's in it for me? Isn't it right? We have that attitude. Some of us who have been going to church for years, we get concerned about the things we like or dislike. That's not what church is about at all. It's coming to worship God primarily and then to be there for one another, worshiping God together, fellowshipping. Another chance that you have to do that is small group. We say small group and they're regularly attending worship services and small groups. Because here's the thing about worship services is you can come here. We're a big enough church that you can come here, you can receive and then leave. And it's pretty much the same as an internet church or TV show at home. You've just come, you listen, you process, you get something out of it, and then you go. And so we want to encourage you also be a part of a small group. And here's the thing, I don't really care what that small group looks like. As long as you're meeting with other believers on a regular basis and discussing the intersection between God's word and your life, then I'm okay with it. That's what we mean by being a part of a small group. All the pictures we get of the early church isn't them just coming and worshiping and then leaving and going home. Everything we see is them living life together. Like even they seem to interact even daily, most of them. So we're not going to have daily services here, but should you be interacting with other people in the church daily? Yeah, according to Scripture. And so this small group could take many forms. It could be for those of you who are in a Sunday school class. That's a small group. It's not just about taking in biblical knowledge. It's also about living life together, praying for one another. It could be men's Bible study or women's Bible study or youth group or a seniors group that meets at Bristol Village. Again, I don't care. It could be an informal group of friends that just gets together once a week for breakfast on a Friday morning or a group of people that get together for lunch or to discuss things. Just be around other people. We've wanted to introduce this idea here for a while, one of home groups. I know Sunday school doesn't work for everybody. Not everybody has that built-in accountability. But we'd like to introduce this concept of on a weeknight coming together and just living life with people. Talking, doing a small biblical lesson type thing. But then also unpacking how things are going in life. If you're not a part of a small group in any other way here and you're interested in something like a home group, I want you to let us know on that card today. Say, yeah, that's something that we'd be willing to do. We'd be willing to come and hang out with some people once a week. And I'm telling you guys, I've done it at two other churches. It will change your life. Just saying, I am voluntarily committing myself to these other people. That's what it means to be a member. And so committing to be a member is committing to be around other members. And to live out so many of the commands in Scripture, we have to be around other people. There's so many one another's in Scripture. Love one another. Be kind to one another. All those, we have to be around others. One of those places is like that is Romans 12. And so let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. And we're going to get three more points that are in our membership commitment from this passage. Romans 12, verse 9 says this. It's Paul writing the church in Rome. He says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor and hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." If you're allowed to have a favorite passage in Scripture, this is definitely on my top 10 list. I love this because it's almost, Paul knows all the issues that are going to come up when you get people around people. And this is like an instruction manual of how to operate in a church and loving other people. And so let's summarize it here and pull out just three big picture concepts. The first one that we would add to our list, I will commit myself to love other members. I will treat other members in love by, we already talked about attending worship and small group. But let me add to that now, praying, visiting, or helping others. Seems like a very simple concept, right? But that's something you're committing to in membership. You're saying, I am making myself available to be there for other people in my congregation, no matter what it is that they might need. I mean, if you look at this idea of praying, that's just simply praying for or praying with people. We regularly publish a prayer list. On Wednesday nights, we put it out. And after Wednesday nights, it's at the Info Center out there. It's a big legal sheet with both sides. And there's all kinds of prayer needs that people have brought. If this is something you want to participate in, grab one of those sheets and pray for people. visiting is simple as well. It's just getting to know people and starting to live life together and interacting with one another outside of these walls. And helping is just doing what is needed. And I know it can be complicated sometimes because you're never sure when to step in and when not to step in. And it can be kind of weird sometimes, especially when it comes to helping other people. And so here's a couple of guidelines. When it comes to helping others, I think these are both biblical. Number one, think about what you would need in their situation. Think about what you would want. I mean, that's really biblical, right? Jesus said, you know, do unto others as you would have done to you. I mean, that's really it. When it comes time to help somebody, maybe they just found out they've got cancer. They've just got a diagnosis. They probably don't need you coming over and sitting in the living room for 4 hours. What they need is maybe a card, maybe just coming over and saying, hi, and we're praying for you. Let us know if you need anything. I mean, that what would you want in that given situation? And then the second one, I think, is just as biblical. The second principle is we just treat each other like family. You say, what would I do for my brother? Or what would I do for my sister? How would we interact with one another? In my nuclear family, how would I interact with them? You know, I will do for these brothers and sisters in Christ that I would do for my real family. Sometimes it's just as simple as sharing a meal with someone. I know we loved getting meals from the church when Melinda delivered all three of our girls, that we actually talked about having more kids just so we could get more food. It's not a slam on my wife's cooking. She would say that, no, I loved it. We had leftovers. It was great. And so sometimes it is just sharing a meal, celebrating with someone, just hearing an accomplishment and giving them a high five when they're here at church, or, hey, I saw your name in the paper to one of these students who were in athletics, something like that, just celebrating with them. It's also mourning with each other, we saw. Let me give you another guideline. If you're ever wondering whether or not you should go to a funeral or a visitation or something like that because you might not have known the person, it doesn't matter if you don't know the person in the casket. What matters is whether or not you know one of those people standing around the casket. That's who funerals are for. That's who those visitations are for. It doesn't matter if you never, ever met their uncle or whoever it was that raised them. We go to support one another and say, hey, I'm praying for you in this time. I'm sorry for your loss. Tell me about him. Tell me about her. You know, we're there for one another. We help each other through the mourning process. Or maybe it's stopping to actually pray for one another. Not just say, I'm praying for you, but let's pray about this together. Here's a dirty little Bible secret. Did you know that you can actually pray for other people? That's not just a pastor job. You can actually sit with somebody else as a Christian and say, you know what, let's pray about it. You say, but I don't have all those theological words and I haven't been to seminary and I don't know how to specifically pray. You know what? Great. It's going to sound a lot better than ours then. Because yours is going to be from the heart. And you just sit with somebody and you pray to God with them. And I mean, we just overthink this stuff. I even have a firm belief, as long as somebody is reading Scripture and learning Scripture, that a Christian should be able to counsel another Christian. Because ultimately, isn't that the guidance we're after? You're not after my opinion on your marriage. You're after what God says about marriage. So as Christians, we should be counseling one another. This is not just a professional role. So there's another side to the same coin. That to be a part of a congregation, not only do you have to be willing to do all this, you have to be willing to receive it as well. And sometimes that's hard for us. We're proud people, and we like being able to give help, but sometimes it's really hard to ask for it. And that's part of authentic community. Would you ask a brother or sister in your family for help? You better believe it. They're usually the first people you call to move, right? Hey, get over here and help me load the truck. You know, there's this asking for it. We shouldn't be too proud. If you're in need, let us know and let somebody help. That's what we're here for. One of the other issues that we've been looking at is this idea of mercy ministry. What does it mean to reach out to those in our community that have incredible needs, that can't even hear about Christ because too many other things in life are in the way? How can we help them? We formed a mercy ministry committee that's just researching different ways that churches do that. And we've looked at some of the things in our community that already happen. But now we kind of want to ask you, if you have a unique perspective on things like poverty or addiction or disability. And it's something that you'd like to share with this committee that's kind of trying to form a vision for how we interact with our community, we would love to hear from you. We've got a little bit of a miniature forum tonight at 6:45 after the dinner over in the Life Center. If you've got something that you'd like to share, just let us know. It doesn't have to be a long speech or no PowerPoint, please. Just come and say, hey, here's kind of some things I noticed when I was going through this situation in life. And this is how the church could help. But here's what I want you guys to see more than anything else. It doesn't have to be a program of the church. It's built into our hearts to help one another, to be there for one another. That's the biblical calling. So two more principles from this Romans 12 passage have to do with the way we treat one another interpersonally. The first one we see is, I will act in love towards other members by speaking with respect and discernment and refusing to gossip. In other words, it's saying, I'm going to watch the way I use my words towards other individuals and about other individuals in the church. We need to learn to use our words wisely with one another. Now, a lot of you got really excited when I was talking about how easy it is to pray for somebody and all that, and now you're all worried because you're like, I won't have the words to say. I'm going to say something wrong. I don't know what to say right. I don't know how to talk to other people. Well, it's built in right there. All we're asking you to do is, number one, no matter what you say, say it with respect. They might be going through a sin in their life, and maybe they don't acknowledge it as sin yet. That doesn't mean you have to come in and judge. That just means you come in and love. They might be going through something else that you just treat them with respect. You treat them with, you think through discernment. Discernment is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you the words you say instead of you saying, oh, well, that internet site that I Googled, you know, said I should say it like this. No, just let the Holy Spirit lead you. Use discernment. So respect, discernment, and then don't gossip. And so here, I'll use myself as an example so I don't put anybody on the spot. If you have a problem with me, which is very possible, if you have a problem with me, who should you be talking about it with primarily? Me, right? Yet in churches, it almost seems like, well, I don't want to step on any toes. So, you know, Sister Sally, I don't want to hurt her. And so I'm just going to allow it to fester in my heart and I'm never going to talk to her, but I'll tell everybody else about it. You know, that's the problem here, and that will tear a church apart. If you've got a problem with me, talk to me. If you've got a problem with Val, talk to Val. If you've got a problem with Ruth Ann, I don't know how that would be possible, then talk to Ruth Ann. But to talk to other people about it just doesn't make sense. I can't stand it when somebody comes to me and says, you know, I've heard some people say, and I'm like, you know, I'm not listening to anything else you say in this sentence from here on out. Because if you don't have the courage to tell me yourself, then I don't want to even hear it. We are brothers and sisters. Would you tell your brother and sister, your real brother and sister, how you felt? Yeah. If you forget what that's like, you can come over to my house and you can hear sisters tell each other how they feel. It's there. Sometimes it's ugly, but it's there. It's honest. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and so shouldn't we be able to talk to one another? Yes. But do we screw that up sometimes? Yeah, sometimes we do say things we shouldn't say. And so here's one more thing that we added. I will act in love towards other members by being slow to take offense and giving others the benefit of the doubt. Gossip can eat away at a church, but so can offense. So many times I've seen in churches people just, well, fine, if they're not going to acknowledge my birthday, then I'm just not going to go. Or, you know, whatever, fill in the gap there. I'm offended at this, I'm offended at that. Have you guys noticed it is so easy to be offended by other people? It really is. If you're looking to be offended, you don't have to look hard. You can find, you know, the next conversation you have with somebody, you could probably pick something out of that. It is not difficult to be offended. That's why you see so many people say they're offended today. Because that's just an easy way to interact with people. Well, you offended me. Well, I didn't mean to. It is so easy to be offended. Something that they said, the way they look at you, something that they didn't say. And so as a member of a local congregation, you are making a commitment to say, all right, I feel offended at what just happened. But I know that person, and I'm going to assume that they didn't mean to hurt me on purpose. Notice what I'm saying is not washing away your feelings and just, you know, getting over it and pretending like nothing happened. You're just giving them the benefit of the doubt and you're assuming that they didn't mean to hurt you on purpose. That's what it means to come together in a congregation and not be offended, to not want to get revenge, to not pay back evil for evil. It means to just say, you know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to assume that they meant to the best for me. They didn't mean to hurt me. And then I'm either, number one, going to let it go and really honestly let it go, give it over to God and say, you know what? I don't need to hold on to this offense. Or if it festers, I'm going to go talk to them. One of the two. I'm not going to go talk to my small group about it. I'm not going to go broadcast it. I'm not going to go put it on Facebook. Or I'm not going to tweet about how this individual hurt me. But I'm going to go talk to them about it. Tim Stevens, in one of his books, he's a pastor over in Indiana, writes this about this idea of authentic community. He says, but many times we forget that in order to build a church, we must be the church. We must love one another. We must encourage one another. We must work together through hard times. We must celebrate success and mourn failure together. We have to pray together and cry together and love together and learn together. If we are to build a church that represents Jesus' heart to the world, we must model that. But it is definitely harder to emphasize this authentic community. It's messy. It has the potential for hurt, pain, and even bitterness. It always requires honest communication, and sometimes these conversations are difficult. That's true, isn't it? And I think sometimes this is why we don't pursue honest community. We don't pursue authentic fellowship. It's because it's hard. It's more work than just saying, hey, brother, how you doing today? Hey, sister, doing great. It's a lot more work to actually get in there and learn about people's lives. Now, you can't do that to everybody in the church. That's why I'm telling you to get involved in a small group, to be there for one another. Because we're going to offend each other, right? It's going to happen. Not intentionally, hopefully. But sometimes it is. But most of the time, it's unintentionally. We might even forget each other's names sometimes. Thanks, whatever your name is. We might do that, but we've got to come to the point where we can assume that we have each other's best interest in mind and not be offended at every little thing. And so let me give you my own little summary of Romans 12 here. I want you to imagine a place where all these things are true. Imagine a place where everyone is authentic, where people don't freak out when trouble comes. There's not a lot of drama. Imagine a place where people help each other with whatever they need, where people aren't insecure about their faith, where joy is multiplied and sorrow is divided. Imagine a place where nobody is condescending, where everybody has a place to fit, a place where unconditional love is the norm and there is no revenge cycle. And can you imagine a place like that? Guys, that should be church. That should be why we come together, despite being all different notes, from all different walks of life, different backgrounds, different ages, different styles, we should be able to come together. If you're in a church where everybody's just like you, you're not going to learn as much. We come together in unity in diversity. So here's that summary again from the membership commitment. I will act with love towards other members by being there, regularly attending worship services and small group, by praying, visiting, or helping others, by speaking with respect and discernment and refusing to gossip, and by being slow to take offense and giving others the benefit of the doubt. I invite you back next week as we talk about, we talked about truth today, we talked about love. Next week we'll talk about a commitment to that common mission that we're going to call purpose. But as we respond today, I want to do something a little different. I'm just going to read Romans chapter 12 from a different translation. This is from New Living Translation. And I want you to close your eyes and just listen to it. Just listen to it and see if this isn't the kind of place you want to worship and fellowship. So listen to the words of Romans 12. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil, but do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And so don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Great passage, isn't it? We can learn so much from that about being in authentic community. And so I don't know what your response is today as we turn to a time of singing. The altar is open. You can fill out a card for whatever you might need to fill out a card for. Maybe it's coming to Christ for the first time. Maybe it's saying, you know what? I'm not in this community because I don't even know Jesus. I don't even know what this means. If that's the case, I invite you to do that today, whether it's coming up here and talking to one of us or filling out that card and letting us follow up with you later. Maybe it's something that you've got to do with somebody else in the congregation. Maybe it's a follow-up this week that you need to call and apologize to somebody. Say, hey, I wasn't very loving when I said that. Or I haven't been there for you like I should have been. Or maybe it's just opening your eyes to the needs in our congregation, of looking around and saying, I want to be a part of a community. And I know none of us are perfect, but I want to grow in this. I want to continue to learn what this means to be there for other people when they need me. I invite you to stand and respond to God however He is leading. Whether it's coming up here, talking to one of us, or filling out that card, let's sing how we're surrendering it all to God.
And all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. And all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake and take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, and I surrender all, and all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all, and I surrender all.
David, would you come up here for a minute? Most of you guys know David by now. This is David Herman. David came down and talked to me a little last night and then spent some time with Gary Toler in a Bible study, and he wants to come to announce that he's invited Jesus Christ into his life as his personal Lord and Savior. You've had quite a journey, and we know that life has been strange sometimes, so we'll continue to pray for you, and we love you, brother, okay? Come up and say hi to David afterward. You know, as we were singing that song, I couldn't help but think, everything that I just talked about, we do for one another, not based on our faith in each other, is it? I mean, that would fall short then. It's based on our faith in God. And that's what we mean by I surrender all these relationships, all the difficulties I'm having. I surrender to Him, and I'm going to interact with one another based on our joint belief in God saving us through Jesus Christ. That's what gives me the strength to interact with you people. That's what gives you the strength to interact with us. It's not your faith in each other. It's your faith in God. That's what's going to drive us in doing this. So let's close in a word of prayer and ask for God to bless us in this endeavor. God, I pray that you would continue to teach us what it means to love one another, to be patient with one another, to forgive offenses, to be the first to go and apologize when we need to be there for one another, whether it's praying or visiting or helping, to make this idea of community a priority in our lives. God, we ask that you would help us to live that out now this week. We repent that we don't do it that well all the time. We've got a long way to go. And so I pray that you would continue to teach us in this, God. Thank you for allowing us to come together and worship you today as believers join together in one voice. Not singing the same notes, but singing to the same God. God, I pray that we, as we take up this offering and as we hear these announcements, we would continue in worship, seeing opportunities to grow and serve you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and amen. You guys can have a seat as the ushers come forward, and Tisa comes up to tell us what's going on.
All right, good afternoon. There are very many ways for you to serve this week and in the upcoming months, so the first one is tonight. There's a community dinner tonight, so we just would love for you to bring your neighbors, your friends, your families. Come and have dinner with us over in the Life Center. It starts at 5:30. The meal is served at 6 o'clock, and if you would like to help volunteer and work, then you should be here by 5. So that's a great way just to invite people from our community in to just have dinner and fellowship. As Josh mentioned tonight, after the dinner, there will be a Mercy Ministry Forum. So if you are someone who has that unique perspective on some needs in our community, we would love for you to come and just share those with us, just to give us some insight on how we can help our community better. The youth are having a back-to-school party on Wednesday. It's hard to believe that we're back to school and getting into that routine, but we are. So we're going to have a party about it. It's for the youth ages 7th through 12th grade. We're going to meet here at 5:45, and then we'll be taking a bus out to Joe and Becky Dressback's home and be having some fun out there. So please meet here with your permission slip, and then we'll return back around 9 o'clock. The Ray Roberts Offering and Season of Prayer for State Missions in Ohio begins next Sunday, and it will continue through the 17th. Our goal for that offering is $1,000, so if you would like to pray about contributing to that, we would appreciate it. Awanas will be starting very soon. It starts on September 6th. It's one of my favorite things to be involved in here. It's great because you don't really even have to prepare anything. What we really need is for you just to show up, listen to these sweet kids say memory verses. There's nothing better than hearing a little kindergartner say John 3:16. It's awesome. So we would love for you to come and sit with them. That's all you have to do. If you would like to help with that, please see Gary or Penny Toller or contact the church office. Family Fun Night and slash tailgate party, I've heard, is going to be Saturday, September 9th here at the church from 4 to 7. So put that on your calendar. If you'd like to help in any way with that, please see Bart or Lisa Frost. A couple Bible studies are going to be starting soon. The first one is a ladies' Bible study. It will start on September 6th, so you can bring your kids to Awana's and then head over to that Bible study. They will be studying All Things New by Kelly Minter. If you would like to sign up, there's a board out here. The books are $15, and we do ask that you prepay, and if you want your books ordered for you, you need to sign up by today. There will also be a men's Bible study starting October 1st at 6 o'clock at Gary Toller's home. They will be studying Wild at Heart. So if you're interested, there's also a sign up for that. And lastly, there's a membership meeting on Sunday, September 10th at 6 o'clock. So put that on your calendar as well. We bless you to go this week. Have a great time and a great day.